This message is coming to you from the First Baptist Church in Coleraine, Massachusetts. We are located at 81 Foundry Village Road, Coleraine, Mass., with Sunday worship at 11 a.m. and Sunday school for all ages at 9:45. And now, the scripture lesson and message.
This morning we'll be looking again at the Gospel of John. We're looking again at chapter 12. We'll be looking at verses 12 through 19. And if you have the Pew Bibles, you'll see that that is on page 1671. And this is Jesus comes to Jerusalem as king. The next day, the great crowd that had come for the festival heard that Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem. They took palm branches and went out to meet him, shouting, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the King of Israel." Jesus found a young donkey and sat on it, as it is written, "Do not be afraid, daughter Zion. See, your king is coming, seated on a donkey's colt." At first, his disciples did not understand all this. Only after Jesus was glorified did they realize that these things had been written about him, and that these things had been done to him. Now the crowd that was with him when he called Lazarus from the tomb and raised him from the dead, continued to spread the word. Many people, because they had heard that he had performed this sign, went out to meet him. So the Pharisees said to one another, "See, this is getting us nowhere. Look how the whole world has gone after him." May the Lord bless the reading of his word to our hearts this morning.
Very much, Granddad. Again, nice to have everyone here this morning. How do you feel when you know there's a circus coming to town? It's unlikely there's one going to come around here. Nothing happens around here. This is the best thing in town, amen? How do you feel when you hear about a circus coming into town or a parade, like a Thanksgiving parade? You ever been to a Thanksgiving parade in New York? I want to try to make it along there one of these years. Go to that big Thanksgiving parade. Or what's that one they have in Holyoke? St. Patrick's Day parade. You ever been to one of those? How do you feel? Excited, yes? Well, this is how the folks felt that day when Jesus rode into town. Last week, we learned how the religious political leaders of Israel got together. They plotted to have Jesus put to death, either by getting the Roman authorities to do it for them or have them assassinated themselves. Why? Because many Jews were turning from their legalistic religious control to the Savior, Jesus Christ, and they didn't like it one bit. Of course, Jesus knew about the plot. Jesus, being God, knows everything. And he stayed away from Jerusalem until it was the right time for him to come. And Palm Sunday was the right time for him to come, enter the holy city, which today's message is all about. Commonly known as Palm Sunday. Thank you, whoever did this. That was very nice. And also the flowers, much appreciated. But before Jesus entered into Jerusalem, we know that he spent some time in a place called Ephraim, a small town somewhere in the desert. He also spent some time in Bethany at the home of his friends, Martha, Mary, and Lazarus, whom he raised from the dead. And because of that miracle, the word got out that Jesus was staying there, and there was a large crowd gathered outside the house to see not only Jesus, but this miracle man, Lazarus, whom Jesus raised from the dead. But also, a lot of the Pharisees were there, and they didn't like the fact that Jesus rose Lazarus from the dead, because it just proved that who he said he was, being the Messiah. So let's have a look at verse 9. Meanwhile, a large crowd of Jews found out that Jesus was there, and they came, not only because of him, but also to see Lazarus, whom he had raised from the dead. And they made plans, the chief priests made plans to kill Lazarus as well. For on account of him, many of the Jews were going over to Jesus and believing in him. So they wanted to do away not only with Jesus, they wanted to do away with Lazarus as well, because he was living proof that Jesus raised him from the dead. And anyone who sided with Jesus was marked for murder. Let's have a word of prayer. Our loving Heavenly Father, again, we are so thankful to be here in the house of worship this morning. We ask you to help us, not that we come out of tradition or the thing to do. Help us not to be over familiarized with this, a major event that happened 2,000 years ago on Palm Sunday. Very significant event, because you would come, reveal yourself, show us the way, and then die on the cross. Yet you rose again from the dead to give us everlasting life. For that we praise you. Give us understanding this morning of your word. Help us to have our hearts open to receive your Holy Spirit. And there may be somebody here who's not saved. May this be the day of salvation. May they not harden their hearts. May they receive you today. Give them understanding. Help them not to resist the Holy Spirit, because faith comes by hearing, and hearing the word of God, which we're about to do right now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Before Jesus entered in to Jerusalem, we know he spent time with his friends, Martha, Mary, and Lazarus. And in verse 12, it talks about the feast or the festival. The writer of this biography was John. He's referring to the feast of the Passover. The Jews celebrated three festivals each year: the Passover festival, and Pentecost, and also the Feast of Tabernacles. For the Jews, the Passover feast was very important. They celebrated it, the fact that they remember when God delivered them from bondage in Egypt. And we shall look at Exodus chapter 12. Many lambs would be slaughtered at the Passover feast to remind them of the blood that was painted on the doorposts and the lintels of the home of the Israelites that night, when every firstborn child was killed if the blood was not applied on those houses. I want to go back to remind us about that. I'm not going to read the whole thing. But in Exodus chapter 12, if you'd like to turn to that, just to remind us of what happened. You can read the whole thing later on. We just don't have the time today. Exodus chapter 12. We're reading verse 12. On that same night, God said, I will pass through Egypt and strike down every firstborn of both people and animals, and I will bring judgment on all the gods of Egypt. I am the Lord. The blood will be a sign for you on the houses where you are, and when I see the blood, I will pass over you. This is where we get the name, the word, the festival, Passover. No destructive plague will touch you when I strike Egypt. This is a day you are to commemorate for the generations to come. You shall celebrate it as a festival to the Lord, a lasting ordinance. And this is what the Jews were doing that day when Jesus rode in to Jerusalem. Thousands upon thousands of them would descend upon Jerusalem. It says there was a great crowd. A great crowd. There's a record of a census that was done at one such Passover festival. And the number of lambs which were killed totaled not 56, not 256, but 256,000 lambs were slaughtered at this Passover feast. So if you can estimate there's around 10 people per lamb, that means an estimated 2.5 million people would be in Jerusalem that day. Just imagine the scene on that Palm Sunday as Jesus came to town. Jesus, it says, was on his way. He was on his way because it was the right time for him to arrive. We must remember that this was a very brave thing that Jesus did, because there was a contract out on his head to have him killed. He knew that. But in spite of that, he still came to Jerusalem because he knew he would have to go to the cross and die, to be put to death. He knew it. He came right in the middle of this hornet's nest among the people that hated him, who wanted him dead. But not everybody wanted him dead. In fact, the majority of people couldn't wait to see him. There was a great crowd because Jesus was on his way. I don't know about you, but I can't wait for Jesus to come back. What about you? Are you anticipating? Are you excited? The fact that Jesus could be returning at any second? We could wait till I'm finished the sermon. That'd be great. Are you ready? Are you ready? Don't get left behind. You must. Jesus says you must be saved. Don't get left behind. You don't want to go through the tribulation. Believe me. You need to be saved. And there's only one Savior, and his name is Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen. In verse 13, we hear about the palm branches. Traditionally, when Jews waved these palm branches at a parade, it meant that they were not only celebrating, but also worshiping. Are you celebrating this morning? As well as worshiping the Lord, just as John says. They were quoting from the Old Testament Psalms, Psalm 118, verse 25 and 26. That psalm had many connections which were bound up in the minds of the people, because it was the last psalm of a group of psalms from 113 to 118, known as the Hallel. This is where we get the Hebrew word hallelujah, which means praise the Lord, praise God. And these were all praise songs, and that's what they were doing when Jesus was coming into town. They were singing and praising God, and singing hallelujah. In fact, this psalm, it was one of the first memory work of a Jewish boy that he had to learn growing up. They were also sung in the Jewish temple as praise and thanksgiving songs to God, being part of the celebrations to come to the temple and to worship. Also in Psalm 118, it would be sung welcoming, and this is important, a conquering hero, which dated back into their history when they did have conquering heroes that would ride triumphantly on a horse. But you might be thinking, well, Jesus came on a donkey, not a horse. And you'd be right. Look at the next verse, 14. He said it was a young donkey. Jesus was showing the fact by riding on a donkey and not a horse that he wasn't coming as a conquering hero, as a warrior, to bring a sword. He was coming to bring peace at this particular time. Luke chapter 2, verse 14 says, glory to God in the highest, peace on earth, and goodwill to all men. This is why Jesus came. So the act of riding on a donkey, it was amazing in many ways. But two in particular. She's good. Going to be a preacher. The donkey, this donkey had never been ridden before. That's an amazing fact in itself. And the fact that he was riding on a donkey, it fulfilled an Old Testament prophecy in Zechariah verse 9, chapter 9, verse 9. But the fact that this donkey had never been ridden before, that's an amazing thing. They talk about being stubborn as a mule. You know what a mule is? It's a cross between a donkey and a horse. I don't know whether you know that. Well, you do now. And imagine trying to ride on a donkey that had never been ridden before. The thing was completely wild until Jesus sat on it. And then it was totally passive. Now, I had an experience in Honduras. I'd been there a few times on a mission trip. And we were witnessing in the village, and I had to bring a devotional every morning where these missionaries were living. But we lived out in a ranch house, which was 2 miles away from town. And we were going there back and forth 4 times a day. So that's about 10 miles that we had to walk every single day for at least a week. And I thought, forget that. And I've got a bit of a gammy ankle, you know. And I didn't want to be walking 10 miles every single day. So I arranged with one of the Christian natives in Honduras to find me a horse or something that I could ride into town on, you know. A bit like Clint Eastwood, in a way, you know. I couldn't wait to hear the word, hey, gringo, you know. So anyway, this guy came to the door one day at the hacienda where we were staying. That's ranch for you people. And they got this donkey there, this ugly-looking old donkey. And I said, is this it? He says, yeah. I said, this is all we could find. I thought, oh, great. I said, that'll have to do. I sat on the thing, and my legs were touching the floor. Touching the ground, that's how big it was. And I said, no problemo, you'll be fine, okay. So I managed to get into town okay. Then nighttime came, and then I was coming back on this thing. I could have walked faster. And it's got this, what do you call it, harness on it, and it's made out of rope, and the thing is 20 feet long. The rope's 20 feet long, so you have to kind of bind it up. So I'm going up the hill towards the, coming from the town, and then it heard its friends in the sphere neighing. Is that the word? Braying, whatever. So it decides to veer off the road and wants to start going up the hill. And I'm trying to drag the thing back, and I'm fighting with this thing, and it's you know, it's very strong. So it starts bucking and kicking. It threw me off. And then it takes off, so I've got the rope. And it's 20 feet long. I'm no kidding. I just got to the end of it, and I managed to hold it. And I'm fighting with this thing, and I'm pulling it back like this. And I finally got it back. And I'm worried about this thing, because I'm responsible for this donkey. You know, and the guy's going to want his donkey back. So I had to drag the thing, literally, about a mile back to the place where we were staying. You know, reluctantly, it came back. So I know exactly how wild these things can be. That's one of the things I remember about Honduras, and I gave it back to the guy who owned it the next day. Anyway, that was remarkable. Look at verse 15. God had planned this event for the beginning of time. This was no coincidence. It was all planned at the right time, in God's time. Now, to us, and maybe to some of those people in the crowd that day on Palm Sunday, it looked a little foolish, a grown man riding on a donkey when they expected a conquering hero. But in ancient Israel, it was the mode of transport for royal princes. Because a donkey was considered, and I don't agree with them, as a noble animal. It's considered to be a noble animal, ridden in this case by nobility himself, the Prince of Peace, Jesus Christ. So, it says there that the disciples didn't get it. They didn't understand the meaning of this. Let's have a look at 15. Do not be afraid, daughter of Zion. See, your king is seated on a donkey's colt. At first, his disciples, verse 16, his disciples did not understand all this. Only after Jesus was glorified did they realize that these things had been written about him, that these things had been done to him. They just didn't get it. Jesus had told them many times he was going to go to the cross. They didn't understand it. They believed, like the rest of them in that crowd, he was going to set up his kingdom on earth when he came into Jerusalem. They should have known better, but they didn't. Same as those thousands of people lining the streets of Jerusalem that day. They're all looking for a Messiah that had been predicted to come, rule, and reign to set up his kingdom on earth. One day, he will. But first, the Messiah had to go to the cross to shed his blood so we could have our sins forgiven. We should praise the Lord. Our sins are forgiven. Our sins are forgiven. As far as the east is from the west. And we've got a lot to praise God for. And it wasn't till after Jesus died on the cross and rose again from the dead, his disciples got it. They really got it. They began to understand why he came in the first place. But at this time, they didn't have a clue. I used to have a math teacher when I was what you call high school, and he really wasn't very good. And he used to tell us all about these equations and stuff, and we were totally confused most of the time. In fact, all the time. And when he'd finished giving his recitation and, you know, telling us about these equations that didn't make any sense whatsoever, he used to say, "Do you get it? Do you get it? Do you get it? Do you get it?" We'd say, "Yeah," but we didn't. We didn't get it at all. And I still don't get it. And the disciples didn't get it either. He told them, but they didn't get it. Disciples didn't understand this. And sometimes we don't understand why God does certain things. Do we? Sometimes we don't understand why things happen the way they do. We don't understand it. Neither did the disciples, but they got it. They understood. In due time, God reveals why things happen the way they do. And all things work together for good to those that love God, to those who are the called according to his purpose. God is in control. He doesn't make any mistakes. Amen? Verse 17, it says, the crowd that was with him when he called Lazarus. Now the crowd that was with him when he called Lazarus from the tomb and raised him from the dead continued to spread the word. They continued to spread the word. We need to spread the word and sow the good seed of the gospel. That's what we're supposed to do once we've been saved. We are witnesses for Jesus Christ. Look at verse 18. Many people, because they had heard that he had performed this sign, that was the raising from the dead of Lazarus, they went out to meet him. They went out to meet him. The Jews had been there and saw with their very own eyes Jesus raise his friend Lazarus from the dead. And then they went everywhere. Everywhere they went, they told everybody about Jesus Christ. And as a result of their verbal witness, it says many came to meet Jesus on that Palm Sunday. We too have seen God work a miracle in our lives. One day, we'll see him face to face. So let's allow other people the chance to meet Jesus as well. How? Simply by telling them, so they too can hear and be saved. You hear the word of God, you are responsible to do something with the word of God. Either believe it or reject it. That's your choice, but it'll be the wrong choice. Verse 19. So the Pharisees, these religious leaders of Israel, said to one another, "See, this is getting us nowhere. Look how the whole world has gone after him." They were totally frustrated. And because God loves every single human being, people of the world, regardless of what color, what race, send his son, so many people from all over the world can believe. Everybody, he says. This is getting us nowhere. See how the whole world has gone after him. And there's millions, countless millions of people that have gone after Jesus Christ in this world. Because faith comes by hearing and hearing the word of God. Imagine the scene that day. Thousands upon thousands of excited, cheering, shouting, praising, worshiping people, waving palm branches. But there were some people there that day that were sad. Sad. They were frustrated. They were angry. They were jealous. They were envious. Their hearts was full of hatred, not gratitude. These were the religious leaders of the day, the Pharisees. Because they saw the people, the masses, adore Jesus when he came into town. They saw him not as the Messiah, but they saw him as a threat to their religion, their position as leaders of Israel, their political power that was gradually being eroded because of this Jesus, whom they called a madman, a blasphemer, a lawbreaker, this carpenter's son, the friend of sinners who dared to defy them, to show his face on their sacred turf, has turned the world upside down because everybody has gone after him. And even some of them got saved as well. Even some of the Sadducees and some of the Pharisees became believers, but they had to stay quiet about it because they would be cut off. They would be persecuted and even killed. So they kept quiet to keep, you know, salvage their own necks. And it was a tremendous scene. Shouting, praising, waving the palm branches. A wonderful time when Jesus came in, riding on that donkey. And we know this popularity that he had didn't last very long. It was just for a short period of time. In fact, it only lasted for 1 week. And then, instead of turning to Jesus, they turned away from him. They turned against him, which would bring delight to those religious leaders once again. But for now, For a brief time, when he rode into Jerusalem, he would receive the praise, the adoration that he deserves. And this is why, one of the main reasons why people need to be saved. A, to prevent people from going to hell, this is why Jesus came. He came to seek and to save that which is lost. You're either saved or you're lost. But one of the main reasons why God wants people to be saved is so that they can worship him. Because if you don't know who God is, you cannot worship God. And Jesus is God. And it's only until you become a Christian that you can praise and worship God. And if you're not saved, then God is being denied that praise and that worship that he deserves. Amen? Amen. And in verse 13, it says that the people were shouting. In other words, they were excited. They were cheering their heads off, like people do at a soccer game or a basketball game. What's your favorite game that you like to cheer or a track meet, right? Or what else? A football game. People shouting and cheering their heads off. They're excited. Or even at a concert. You ever been to a concert? And you can't wait to see the person that you really like, and you bought all their albums, CDs, and you know, you go to see them, and you're shouting, and you're... This is how it was that day on Palm Sunday. I remember, I'm old enough to remember, the Beatles. Anyone heard of them? Yes. Well, back when I was about 14 years old, I was standing in line with my older sister. She was 5 years older than me then. She's still 5 years older than me. And we stood in line, we queued for hours because the Beatles were coming to town. This is about 1964, and we'd scraped our money together. And we finally managed to get a ticket, and I was so excited. And then, you know, the place was packed, and everyone was, you know, these different acts came on and very politely clapped. And then the Beatles were announced, and all Hades broke out. It was absolutely pandemonium. It was crazy. It was insane. And the noise and the screams, it would broke all the windows, you know. The high-pitched screaming, all these wenches going insane. And they all, the Beatles, and they came on, and I saw them, and then they all everyone stood up and surged forward, and they were standing on the seats, and I couldn't hear a thing they were singing about. I heard about this noise, this din was so incredible. I wanted to hear them, but no chance. So I heard this screaming. They were going insane. That's how it was on Palm Sunday. They were excited. What about us? Are we excited when we come to church? Should be. Or do we just come out of tradition or the right thing to do? Of course it's the right thing to do. We should be here. But what about that crowd in Jerusalem 2,000 years ago on Palm Sunday? We should be excited when we come to church because we ought to anticipate the fact that we are here to meet God. That's what they were doing. They came out to meet God and they were excited to praise him, to worship him, the Lord of Lords. The mighty God, the everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace, Jesus Christ the Lord. One day, Jesus will return to Jerusalem to claim his throne. He will rule and reign supremely as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Not riding on a donkey this time. As the Prince of Peace. No. He'll be riding on a white horse. And even if I can't ride a donkey, I'm going to be riding one of those horses as well. And he'll be the all-conquering hero. And I just want to close to verify that fact by reading the Revelation. Got to get used to this new lovely Bible, which we all paid for. That includes me. In the Revelation chapter 19, in verse 11, he said, I saw heaven standing open, and there before me was a white horse, whose rider is called Faithful and True. With justice he judges and wages war. So he's not coming as the Prince of Peace this time. His eyes are like blazing fire, and on his head are many crowns. He has a name written on him that no one knows but he himself. He is dressed in a robe dipped in blood, and his name is the Word of God. The armies of heaven were following him, riding on white horses and dressed in fine linen, white and clean. And coming out of his mouth is a sharp sword which to strike down the nations, and he will rule them with an iron scepter, and he treads the winepress of the fury of the wrath of God Almighty. And on his robe and on his thigh, he has this name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Who are we talking about? Jesus. Jesus. Amen. That's going to happen. And whether you can ride a horse or not, you'll be a perfect rider the time you come back with the Lord to set up his kingdom on earth. Let's pray. Father, we look forward to that day, and we should be encouraged as we anticipate your return, and we'll meet you in the clouds, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. And we won't have to go through the tribulation that's going to be poured out on this earth, on those that are left behind. Thank God, we won't be left behind. We'll be with the Lord, and you tell us, so encourage one another with these words. Help us to be excited, as that crowd was that day, to meet you as you rode into Jerusalem. Help us to be excited, the fact that our names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And one day we'll see you face to face. I'm praying for somebody here right now that doesn't have that assurance. They don't know if they're saved. They don't know if they're going to heaven. In fact, the Bible says that if they're not saved, they go to hell. But you came to rescue us from that, to give us everlasting life so we wouldn't have to perish. And if you're not saved, you need to pray this prayer with me and talk to God sincerely from your heart, and he'll listen to you, and he'll answer your prayer if you pray this sincerely. Lord Jesus Christ, I know that you went to the cross and you bled and you suffered and died, and I believe that. You died in my place because I'm a sinner and I'm lost and I need you to save me. And I believe in my heart that you rose again from the dead. And I ask you to save my soul. And I pray that in the name of Jesus Christ. And for the rest of us, help us to be excited because our names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life, and we can never perish. And we thank you, Jesus, for coming bravely that day 2,000 years ago on Palm Sunday, which we celebrate today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Amen.